Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're going to be talking about the baptism of fire, the baptism of the Holy Spirit that Jesus wants to give you to excite you and to energize you, to fill you up with all of His goodness and all of His greatness, and to propel you into your ministry so that you will be a spokesman for the gospel. You will be a witness, just as Jesus declared over us in the first chapter of Acts, that we would be witnesses and we would go into all the world and preach and teach and tell people about Jesus. And so that is His will for you, that is His will for me, and for every single person that comes to know Him here on the face of the earth. So we're going to be talking about that. If you have your Bible there, turn it to Matthew 3:11. Matthew 3, verse 11, we're going to start there, and then we're going to go to other scriptures, but we'll start in Matthew 3:11. John the Baptist is speaking to the Pharisees. They have come out to where John is. He's out there on the Jordan River, and he's baptizing people for repentance. And you know that John was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He came to declare to the people about the ministry of Jesus. He came to declare that the Messiah was coming, and he was about 6 months older than Jesus. He was a cousin of Jesus, but he was out there making declarations about repentance and about sin, and asking the people to come clean and repent of their sins. And so the Pharisees were coming to him out there, and John is speaking to them. And in verse 11, he says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And his winnowing fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And so we see and hear two images of fire right here in these two passages of Scripture. The first image, or the first declaration of fire, says that Jesus is going to baptize you with his fire. And so this is a baptism not like water baptism. John, the forerunner of Jesus, John the Baptist, he was baptizing people in accordance to the baptism of water for the remission of sin, or for the cleansing of their sin. And we still do that today. The water baptism is a baptism that is symbolized that the cleansing power of God has come into your life, and the cleansing power of God has taken the sin out of your life, or the cleansing power of God covers the sin of your life. And so we go to water baptism to symbolize the fact that you have accepted Jesus, that you have confessed your sins, you have repented from your wicked ways, you've turned from your wicked ways, and you have repented of your sins, and now you are declaring that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And so when you do that, the next step then is to follow it up with baptism, that is immersion baptism, where you're fully immersed in the water. You're covered, every hair on your head and every cell of your body is covered with the water, which symbolizes the cleansing, renewing, replenishing power of God to take a sinner and cleanse him of his sins and cover his sins, and to be raised up out of that water, to be raised up in newness of life. So you go down into the water in sin, you go down in your iniquity, you go down as the old creature, the old man, the old person, the unredeemed person, and you come up out of the water after you have been totally immersed in that cleansing power of the water. There is no power specifically in the water. I'm not speaking of the water having a cleansing power. I'm speaking of the water symbolizing the cleansing power of Jesus Christ. But you go down into the water and you are fully immersed in the water. Then you come up a new man, a new person, a new creation in Christ Jesus, and you are cleansed, sanctified, set aside, and ready then to serve the kingdom of God, ready then to go out and minister, to preach, to evangelize, to share and witness the testimony that you have or a message from God's Word, but you come up out of the water a new person, a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all things are new. The old is passed away. And so the old person goes down into the water, is covered and cleansed. The new person comes up and is a new creation, and you are then ready to minister the gospel. And so the fire that then comes from the fire of God that John was talking about, that fire then is the second portal of entry into the kingdom of God, or it is the second anointing, you could say. The first comes when you are saved, when you become a believer and move into the believing world from the unbelieving world. And the second anointing, or the second portal, is when you then receive that baptism of fire, which is the baptism, the full immersion of the Holy Spirit. And that baptism of fire comes when you call on the Lord to baptize you with His fire. It comes when you ask. Everything in the Christian faith is obtained by asking. Everything in the Christian faith is obtained by believing that God is able to give it to you. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights above, and in Him there is no change or shifting shadow. That's James 1:17. And so when you ask God for that baptism of fire, He knows your heart, He knows your desires, and He gives you the desires of your heart. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And so as you ask in faith, and you believe God is able to give this baptism of fire to you, as you ask in faith and believe that you can have it, God sees your heart. He knows if you're ready for it. He knows if your heart is right. And then He baptizes you with that same baptism of fire that John the Baptist was speaking of. And He said, this man Jesus who is coming, He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And so what does it mean then to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire? It means you have received the full immersion of the Holy Spirit. It means that you have received that full immersion, the fullness of the Holy Spirit that Jesus talked about when He was teaching the disciples about the Holy Spirit, when He was telling them in the 14th and 15th and 16th chapter of John. He was telling them that I'm going to be leaving you, and He was explaining to the disciples, I'm going to be leaving you, but there's going to be one coming to you, and this one is going to be your helper. He will be your advocate. He will be your intercessor, and He will accompany you here on this earth. And Jesus actually told the disciples, you're going to be better off when the Holy Spirit comes than when I'm actually here with you. And of course, the disciples couldn't understand that. That was a big mystery to them. It would have been to us as well in the same situation. But Jesus was saying that this Holy Spirit will go with you everywhere you go. And Jesus, in His humanity, when He was walking with the disciples, He could not go with them everywhere they went. He could only be with them in His physical body at certain times and in certain places. But when He spoke to them about the Holy Spirit, He said, the Holy Spirit will go with you wherever you go, and you will even do greater works than I do. And Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, He will tell you the truth in all things. That's John 16:13, that He will speak to you of what the Father tells Him, and He will not speak on His own, but whatever the Father tells Him, He will speak. And He will speak to you the truth of all things, yes, even things yet to come. And so that's where the prophetic unction, that's where the prophetic comes from, is that when you have the Holy Spirit, when you have that baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have the ability to see into the future. You have the ability to know into the future, because the Holy Spirit, if you are listening to the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit will speak to you of things even to come. It will speak to you of truth, of things that have happened in the past, and reveal to you things that have happened in the past, but it will reveal to you the truth of things that are happening right now, the present in your life, but it will also reveal to you the truth of things yet to come, or the reality, you might say, the possibility, the potential of things yet to come. And so the Holy Spirit counsels us in every way in our life. The Holy Spirit counsels us and brings us to a place of knowledge of truth of everything that is going on in our life. And we can take every decision to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the counselor. The Holy Spirit is the person of God, the third person of the Trinity. And so the Holy Spirit has the counsel from the Lord God Almighty and Jesus. The Holy Spirit has the wisdom of God. It has the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is everything that we need to rely on to make decisions in our life, whether it's regarding personal relationships, whether it's regarding ministry, whether it's regarding finances, where we are to go, when we are to go. The Holy Spirit can counsel us and lead us to the truth in every situation in our life. We just have to start asking the Holy Spirit. Ask and you shall receive. Not only the Holy Spirit and fire, but also the wisdom. Once you have received the Holy Spirit, start asking the Holy Spirit for wisdom and counsel, for direction, for training, for discipline. All of the things that you desire in your life will come to you. And when you ask the Holy Spirit will then speak to you, and you train your ear, you train your spirit to bear witness with the Holy Spirit, to listen to the Holy Spirit, so that when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, then you are able to receive it, to hear it, and then are obedient. You step out in obedience and do what the Holy Spirit counsels you to do. Matthew 3, verse 12, John goes on to say, "His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And so that is the second picture of fire that John the Baptist is talking about. And this fire is the judging fire of God. This fire is the side of God that judges, that sees every situation, that sees every detail of every situation, not only in your life, but in the life of every single person here on the face of the earth and every creature here on the face of the earth. And this fire then will burn up the chaff, which is all symbolic language for those who have rejected the knowledge of Christ, for those who have turned away and rejected the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Then this fire will come and it will burn them up. And just as the chaff goes out the back of the combine and blows out into the field, well, that chaff is not destroyed, but it is not taken into the barn. It is not saved. It is not kept. The good wheat goes into the silo. The good grain goes into the silo, and that is what goes up into the bin of the combine and then is hauled to the silo or hauled to the grain elevator. But the chaff goes out the back and is of no value. It is useless. It is worthless. And so John the Baptist is saying that the chaff is the worthless of the human beings. It is of the useless of the human beings to the kingdom of God, because they have rejected Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They have rejected the knowledge of the living God, the one true living God, their Creator. And therefore, the condemning fire, that destroying fire, the judgmental side of God, that fire will burn the chaff up, and they will be in an unquenchable fire for all eternity in hell. And that is the place that God created for the angels who fell from heaven. That is not God's desire that any man, woman, or child should end up there. It is not God's desire that anybody should be separated from Him, even for a brief moment. But this place was designed and made for the devil and his angels who rebelled against God, who desired to live separate from God and reared up their will against God and desired to take over from God. And so God created this place, hell, for them to keep them for all eternity. And so this is also the place where those who reject God and have no knowledge of God, This is the place where they will reside, and they will be an unquenchable fire, where the worm never dies and the fire never goes out. They will be in an unquenchable fire for all eternity. And beloved, that I pray is not you. I pray that you know Jesus if you're listening to me today, and if you have never accepted Jesus, I pray that you do that right now. Just confess and repent, just like John the Baptist was telling the Pharisees, bring forth fruits according to repentance. Bring forth fruits according to repentance. In other words, show in your life that you are repentant. Show in your life that you have a desire to live a new life in Christ. Show in your life that you have a desire to seek the knowledge of God, seek those things that are of the kingdom of God, to live a righteous life, a holy life, a life that is free of sin and willful disobedience to God, willful rebellion to God. And when you do that, when you turn from your wicked ways and you repent of your sins and you say, Lord, I want to serve you, I want to know you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior, I want to come to you and I want to have you cleanse my life. When you do that and you are sincere and your heart is right with the Lord, he sees into your heart and he says, yes, I like that. Yes, you are welcome into my kingdom. I created you to worship me. I created you to serve me. And when you come to him in that attitude and with that type of humbleness and that type of humility in your heart, God says, oh, I love that. And he will cleanse you. He will raise you up, that new creation in Christ Jesus. And so how do you receive the baptism of fire? That's the good question right now. How do you receive it? And we know this is God's will because he speaks about it in every gospel, in Matthew 3:11, in Mark 1 verse 8, in Luke 3 verse 16, and in the Gospel of John, verse 33 in chapter 1, he speaks about this baptism of fire, so we know this is God's will. It is emphasized in every single one of those Gospels, and we know that God's desire is that every single believer have that baptism of fire. It is the full immersion of the Holy Spirit. Well, how do you receive it? You receive it by asking. You receive it by saying, Lord Jesus, I want the baptism that you baptize. I want to have the full immersion of the Holy Spirit so that I can move forward with power. I can move forward and have your complete knowledge, the wisdom that comes from having the complete immersion of the Holy Spirit, that fire, that passion. Fire also speaks of passion. It speaks of a desire, just as we speak of a football team. It's fired up. And so we have a passion to share the gospel. We have a passion to preach. We have a passion to evangelize, to witness. And so in the first chapter of Acts, we see that it unfolds on the disciples there. In the first chapter of Acts, if you turn there in your Bible, starting in verse 4, Acts 1, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them, this is the disciples, not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So Jesus used the very same words, very same terminology, very same symbolism. He used that when he was speaking to the disciples. This is after the resurrection. He used the very same words that John the Baptist had used and was written in all four of the Gospels. So we know this is critical doctrinal bedrock here. We know this is basic doctrinal bedrock. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of fire, is just as real as the chair you're sitting on today. And it is also God's desire that you ask for it, that you receive it, that you have it. Without the full immersion of the Holy Spirit, you do not have the power to go out and witness and preach and share the gospel. You do not have everything that God wants you to have. And so if you've never received it, God wants you to ask for it and to receive it today. And I'm going to read that verse 5 again. Jesus speaks, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Well, back to verse 8. Jesus says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and even to the end of the earth, or to the remotest parts of the earth. And so Jesus was telling them that this baptism that was coming, this baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire that was coming, would unleash in them power to be witnesses. And it's God's will that you receive this baptism of fire for the very same purpose today in your life, the very same reason today in your life that it was unleashed in the life of the disciples. It is for the very same purpose. It is to empower you to share the gospel, to empower you to go into Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the remotest parts of the earth, to empower you to go share the gospel, to get up out of the church pew or to get up out of your house, off the couch, quit being a couch potato, and get started being an ambassador and a disciple and an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher. Be something for the kingdom of God. Make your life count for the kingdom of God. And when you have the power of the Holy Spirit, when you have the power of the fire of the Holy Spirit, you're going to want to preach, you're going to want to share, you're going to want to be a witness, just as Jesus told the disciples, you will be witnesses of mine. And when you go, you're going to have power. This Greek word dunamis is the word that is used here, the Greek word dunamis, dynamite, explosive, explosion. And when you have that explosive power, when you have been given that full immersion of the Holy Spirit and you have this explosive power, beloved, you're going to want to share. You're not going to want to be quiet. You can't be quiet. You're going to want to share the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross, that he shed his precious blood for you. And when you share that message, it will be shared with power, it will be shared with eloquence, it will be shared with the Spirit of God behind it, and so people will know that something has happened to you, something has touched your life, something has transformed you and has taken you to a new place in your spiritual walk with the Lord. And that is God's desire, again, as I said, for every single person out there listening. It doesn't matter your age, it doesn't matter your status, it doesn't matter your race, your color, your ethnicity. It has nothing to do with any of that. It is not a natural thing. It didn't come from your parents. Your parents didn't give it to you when you were born. It comes from baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. It doesn't necessarily even come when you're baptized in water or when you make your confession of faith. It's a separate baptism given to you by the Lord Jesus, and it will empower you then to be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. Well, we only need to look at the gospel itself, the stories in the book of Acts, and we see what happened to these disciples 10 days after Jesus was giving them this instruction regarding the baptism of the Holy Spirit. 10 days later, they were in Jerusalem. They had waited, they had been obedient, and so it was poured out on the day of Pentecost. Here we take it up in Acts 2 verse 1, the very same thing that Jesus said was going to come, the very thing that he said would happen. He said, if you'll wait, if you'll be patient, and if you'll stay here in Jerusalem, then the Holy Spirit will be poured out on you. And we see that it happened here in the second chapter of Acts verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so the fire came, that fire, the baptism of fire that John had prophesied, that baptism of fire that Jesus said you were going to receive. There it happened, it came, and the tongues of fire sat on each one of these disciples, and the mighty rushing wind came into the room. They knew that something unusual, something very exciting, something explosive, something with dunamis, with dynamite, was getting ready to happen. And so they received it. They were open to it. They asked the Lord for the fullness of it. And the fire came, and they were given evidence of that fire which had taken up residence in them, that fire that had burned out all that was not bringing glory to God in their life, that fire that came in and scorched them with a passion, scorched them with a desire to share the gospel, to be witnesses, and they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, beloved, it's God's desire, as I said, that you would receive this fire, that you would come to know the Lord Jesus and receive the full immersion, the passion, the desire to be a witness. You can be that person. You can be just like those disciples there in the second chapter of Acts. You can be ready to receive. And I pray that each one of you then would receive that fire today. Each one of you would ask the Lord for that fire. Be open in your heart to receive. And as you do that, be ready and willing then to let the fire change you. Let the fire burn out all that is not of God in you. And let the fire ignite that passion in you to go share the gospel to the remotest parts of the earth. Well, stay tuned for contact information. We've got a great book offer. If you make a donation to help keep this radio broadcast on the air, we'll send you a book, Gather the Outcast, Reaching the Lost in Africa. And so stay tuned for that contact information. We'd like to hear from you, and we'd like to have you help support this ministry, help support this radio broadcast, and we thank you for the opportunity to be able to share with you today. God bless you. Have a great week. Tune in again next week.